اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة، آت محمد الوسيلة والفضيلة، وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته، إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان، إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن لله 100 رحمة أنزل منها رحمة واحدة بين الجن والإنس والبهائم والهوام، فبها يتعاطفون وبها يتراحمون وبها تعتف الوحش على ولدها. وأخر الله 99 رحمة يرحم بها عباده يوم القيامة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah Rabbul Izzah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His fazl and out of His karam and ihsan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had opened our hearts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed us to accept and to embrace and to follow this deen of Islam. Being a believer and one who ascribes to this kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, day in, day out, maybe we hear it and we know that we believe in this kalima, but wallah, respected elders and friends, the only time you will understand the gravity and the value of this kalima and this iman is when our eyes will close. Because the criteria and the deciding factor of a person's success, both in this world and in the akhirah, is based upon this kalima. If a person does not have this tawheed, the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he does not accept the risalat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then no matter how good apparently that person may be, even his character may be of a very noble nature, he may be a very good person, a very charitable person, he may be beloved to the people also, but if he does not have this iman, then wallah, when this person will leave this world, although yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let any deed go unrewarded, to the extent that it is mentioned that even the kuffar who carry out good actions such as charitable works and welfare etc., then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them their reward, but in this world. That in some way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either will give them some kind of prosperity, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove maybe some calamity of them in this world. But, as one alim had mentioned, that no matter how much of good a person has next to his name, but if he does not have this kalima of the tawheed of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is as though that person is just continuing to write those zeros. So long as that one is not before all those zeros are worthless. But like that, a person who brings iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a clear indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a special love and mercy for that particular banda. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this understanding, that we do not have some kind of a concept where that this is our life and we will live it as we wish, because one day we are going to die and that will be the end of life. No. That is the outlook of that person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not blessed with iman and the correct understanding of the akhirah. Yes, there are some, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, that these two categories, they are also Ahl Kitab. A divine book was also sent to them, the Yahud and the Nasara. But they interpolated it, and all different, so to say, misconceptions, they had come up with different interpretations of the Akhirat, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with His servants, to the extent that some of them, na'uzubillah, they put na'uzubillah in inverted commas, their own ilah and their own God on the cross, and that God had died for their sins, which allows a person, na'uzubillah, some kind of atonement, and we feel that that person will feel that now I can do as I wish, because I just go and make some kind of a confession, and that is about it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved us from all that. But on the other hand, making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us this gift of iman, we must understand that this iman is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in the recesses of a person's heart. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wahi would come down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by means of this wahi, we find that in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that those that were munafiqeen and hypocrites, they would become exposed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, via Jibreel Amin alayhi salam, he would inform Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that so and so is only claiming to be a believer, but deep down and within from his heart, he has not accepted you as his Nabi, he has not accepted the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made parda from this world, wahi had ended. And now no person can say that any certain person, na'uzubillah, is a munafiq. Yes, if you want to point fingers, then we need to look into our own hearts. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being rahmatul lil alameen, and having that love and concern for each and every ummati, to the extent that today we see a janazah going, if it is some close relative, then only we will become a little grieved, etc. But a little more distant, we'll attend the janazah, we will make dua. But never would we think, Allah knows, I'm speaking of myself firstly, that when the janazah of some non-Muslim we see, or we hear of the janazah of some person, or the death of some non-Muslim, a person who is a disbeliever, then it doesn't stir us in the least. Yet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, when he had gone and he had given dawah to a certain youngster, Ghaliban, it was a Jewish youngster, and after a little while, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received news that this Jewish youngster had died. Upon this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had become saddened and grieved. The reason for this was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's desire was how each and every person can gain entry into Jannah. Now, respected elders and friends, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his qurbani, the sacrifice of sahaba, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the deen to us. That each and every one of us, we have, alhamdulillah, we understand what is the kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing that there are trying times that are going to come, as he had mentioned that before Qiyamah, fitanun kaqita'il layl lil muslim, that like how the night sets in and it continues to become dark, like that the fitnas towards Qiyamah will increase and a person will be tested even more for his iman. To the extent that a time will come, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that to remain firm on a person's iman and a person's deen will be like holding on to burning coal. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say it was impossible. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for us guidelines. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I leave two things with you, that if you will hold firm onto it, then you will never go astray. And we all know what that is. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I leave with you the Kitabullah, the Kalamullah, the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I leave with you my way of life and my sunnah. That any person who will keep the Quran apart in front of him with regards to his dealing, with regards to his daily life, and every person who will ensure that every aspect of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I must see that I have it in my life. The way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted me to dress, I must dress in that way. The way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted me to eat, I must eat in that way. In this way, a person will be protected from the fitnas of the time. Indeed, sometimes shaitan will put silly waswasas and very, very stupid thoughts in our minds, that if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already foretold us, and he had mentioned to us, that these certain things are going to become rife towards Qiyamah, music will become rife, zina will become rife, usury, interest, riba, etc. will become rife, then these things are going to happen, na'uzubillah. No. That means we are going to become part of it, no. Together with that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us the protection, that if you hold firm to the Qur'an and Majid, and you follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will be safe. Respected elders and friends, life is extremely short. Sometimes, what happens is, when a person becomes involved in his daily life, and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that a person must earn for his family, so a person daily, he falls into a particular routine, and shaitan slowly begins to make a person oblivious of that which is inevitable. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَكْسِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِي مِنْ لَذَّاتِ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّاتُ وَسَّلَامُ, that remember excessively that thing which will cut you off from the pleasures of this dunya. And that is death, that is maut. Each and every person, as the poet had said, that one who is carrying the bier of someone today, the janazah of someone today, then know well one day, إِنَّكَ mahmul, then know one day that you also are going to be on the shoulders of someone. Respected elders and friends, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of his shafqat and his kindness, what ihsan he has upon us, that, as Hazrat Muhammad Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi also used to mention, that many a times people say and they wish, like that many other ulama have mentioned, that how nice it was if we were alive in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wisdom knew why weak ones like us would be in this zamana, and not in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the trials then also were what? Of a very, very severe type. Where a person sometime his life had to be put online. So we don't know at that time, would we have fallen from the mu'mineen? Allah Pak protect us, or would we have fallen from those of the munafiqeen? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's concern was, how his ummati, and how each and every ummati can leave this dunya with his iman intact. And on the other hand, we have our arch enemy, shaitan, open declared enemy. In the Quran and Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of it, that how he had taken a qasam. Not that he will just mislead, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had rejected him, then he had taken a qasam, that he will come from the right, as we say, from all sides. He had taken that very qasam, that I will come from the right, I will come from the left, I will come from in front and I will come from behind, to mislead your bandas and your servants. And the reason for this obviously is so that they leave this world in a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with them and they may go to Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no longer with us. Wahi has ended. Now a person has to concern himself with his iman, the level of his iman. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that there are certain qualities which a person must be very, very careful of. Respected elders and friends, whenever we hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that reminder is beneficial for a believer. When we hear any talk of deen, then let us try and look into our own hearts. Each and every one of us, including myself, we need to understand that one day we are going to leave this world. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, there are many things, but in one particular hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there are three things. We will discuss all together about 5 points or 5 qualities we will mention, 5 things which a person has to be on guard for. Like that there are other things, but at least these 5 things, if we can highlight them in such a way that we know that inshallah from today, I will see to it that these 5 things do not come into my life. And if they are in my life, then alhamdulillah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith is in front of me. I must start making an effort to remove this from my life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the signs of a munafiq, of a hypocrite, One of them is that when a person speaks, he speaks a lie. Now when we say this, a person automatically sometimes thinks that I do not speak a lie. But a person has to put himself in a situation and he has to think. Like in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a person should speak the truth and what is haq, even though it may be bitter. That means bitter for himself. Sometimes a person is put in a situation where if he has to speak the truth, then either the case will go against him. If he has to speak the truth, then that fine will be issued. Respected elders and friends, rather the government be displeased, rather our pocket money is spent, than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being displeased. On one occasion, or even the occasion of Tabuk, a sahabi Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, we find that he made niyat and intention that I will go and I will join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this expedition. And we must understand that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, their lives were chosen so that the ummah after them could understand how to conduct themselves in their daily lives. Even so much so that the fuqaha have mentioned, that so much so that even their errors and their mistakes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it a mercy for us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that certificate. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. No one can judge them now. Allah is pleased with them. وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Allah has forgiven them. But the lessons that they have left, we need to take that. This sahabi, he says that I will leave, and it was a time when it was for harvesting, and he had a very good conveyance. So when he planned to depart and to leave, he procrastinated a bit, and he said that no, if I leave, I will just ride a bit faster, and then I will reach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like this, he continued to procrastinate, and it was the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it happened such that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already began to return. And now he gets the news, and he becomes perplexed, and he is now anxious, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes. It is mentioned that the munafiqeen, they had gone before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means those who apparently were acting as Muslims, and they said, oh Rasulullah, this is our excuse, oh Rasulullah, this is our excuse. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just allowed them, left them. He didn't react to any of those things, and as though he accepted it outwardly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously informed him. But this sahabi, in fact some of the family members and of some of the munafiqeen, they had told him that why don't you tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they began to give him some kind of excuse to put forward. He goes before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, O Nabi of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me from those people who have the gift of the gab, where I can speak very, very eloquently, and I can come up with something, I can speak very fluently, and you won't notice whether I am speaking the truth or not. And he's, but then he says that, O Nabi of Allah, I know that if I have to speak the truth now, then you may become a bit upset with me. But O Nabi of Allah, I know that by speaking the truth, although you may become a bit upset, knowing that I have no excuse, I'm just putting it in my words. But then he mentions, but by speaking the truth, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with me, and Allah will make a way out for me. It is mentioned that on this particular sahabi, and there were two other sahaba also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed an entire half page of Quran Sharif just about these sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a way out for them. So the first thing, a person should never ever speak a lie. Even if it is a time when it's going to cause him some financial loss, a person should speak the truth. Obviously, there are many, many details behind what they term as white lies. Sometimes a person, maybe his muhabbat for his wife is not so much or something. Now his wife says, you know, do you have muhabbat for me? He says, I'm not sure. Not that kind of truth. Those are, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that also. That when it comes to a person's wife, to speak to her, even though a person whole day didn't think of his family at home, but when he comes home, if he says that, you know, the entire day I was missing out, a person will get a reward on that. So we are not talking of the wife. What we are talking about, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that even if that lie has to cause us some kind of harm. Second, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the time is running out, we'll just go through them quickly, is that when a person is given some kind of amanat, some kind of trust, somebody has given him something to either keep or whatever it is, then a person should not betray that trust, And a person should look after the trust as though the person who gave it to him is in his presence. Because sometimes a person will come up his mind and his nafs will come up with some kind of explanation that no, he gave me this but he meant like this, no. A person is given any kind of trust, then he should discharge the trust according to what he is supposed to. Thirdly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a munafiq is such that when he makes a promise, then he breaks that promise. Yes, what is meant here, we won't go into the details, we just got about a minute left. What is meant is that at the time of making the promise, a person says, I will pay you on a certain date, or I will do a certain thing on a certain date. Then at that time, the person knows fully well, inshallah, I will carry that out. That is what a person should do. But if a person has this intention that I will do it, and something, some unforeseen circumstance, and it goes off, and the person doesn't manage to meet that particular date, etc., then a person must just ask for maaf, etc. But a person must not promise with a niyat in the back of his mind, I will just promise to get this person off my back, na'uzubillah. No, this is a quality of a munafiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The fourth thing in one hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, which has become something so common and something that a person, when he hears it also, it is like the norm of society. Yes, it should be the norm of society of those that are not believers. But amongst us, what will a person get? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the munafiq is such that when he becomes angered or he is in some kind of a dispute, then he uses vulgar language and he swears. How we know in our business places, so much during the day, sometimes a person just soils his tongue and there is no real gain. Whether a person is angry and he swears or doesn't swear, the effect is generally the same. So make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives us tawfiq to get rid of this also. And lastly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that in the time of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, only an open munafiq and only a person who everyone knows that this person here is not a true believer, only he would not attend the salah with jamaat. Salah with jamaat in the masjid or at the musalla where the azan is called out, etc. Only the open munafiq would really salah at home. Respected elders and friends, that each and every one of us look into our own hearts and in our own lives. That Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that so much so that munafiq whose hypocrisy was not yet known, he also would attend the jamaat salat because he knew that if I don't attend the Fajr salah with jamaat, the Zohar salah with jamaat, then people would suspect that I am a munafiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana.